Welcome to this Monday edition of Agriculture Today. And our cattle market analysis for the week comes your way first. Providing the input this time around is a livestock economist from Iowa State University. A pleasure again to visit with Lee Schultz. In that, Lee, it's been another good week for the cattle markets. The cash market, it gained more strength, and the futures markets had a strong week of it as well.
They did, and I think we're really, especially when you look at the feeder markets, you know, I think they've really started to close some of the gap that we've seen, the significant discounts in some of the deferred months, really started to narrow that up. Fed cattle, I think they are starting to finally respond to the strong demand picture that we've had. Really, I think some the larger supplies and anticipated larger supplies have been holding that market down, but now we're really starting to see some response from the demand side.
Want to spend a moment here shortly about what's going on with fed cattle basis. But on the cash feeder cattle front, particularly at the Kansas auctions, prices soared last week. Any thoughts on why that might have been the case? Is it a factor of short numbers? Is it because of the demand for grass cattle we typically see in the springtime? How do you see that, Lee?
Well, I think we can really say all of the above when we're looking at especially the lightweight calves, you know, realizing that there's fewer of them around just given the seasonal standpoint there. And so we've really seen strength in those lightweights, pointing to maybe the five weight calves, seen about a $16 increase since January as we get to kind of the current levels here in April. When we look at the heavier cattle, you know, we've seen strong prices driven by really the profitability that we're seeing. And really heavyweights are where the demand is at, getting those cattle maybe aligned with that June contract where we're still seeing supportive prices in the fed cattle market. Just from a volume standpoint, too, we were down, you know, about 3,000 receipts compared to last week and really compared to year-ago levels, down about 30,000 in receipts. So there has been lighter volume. And so I think we've had sufficient demand, so that's really helped support prices.
And everything aligned very nicely last week, to be sure. Now, you've pulled together in a recent article some thoughts on the fed cattle basis levels. This is important and instructive for producers because it can give them signals, that is, basis, on marketing decisions that they might want to lock in looking forward. Bring us up to speed on basis and what's happening with it, if you would.
Well, if we look back a couple weeks, really we were staring at historically high basis, well above if we're using a three-year or five-year average. And even looking at the past maximum in the last 10 years, we've seen basis anywhere from, you know, the $12 to $13 range. I think as far as producers' decisions, that helped make their decision to pull some cattle forward to take advantage of those much stronger basis levels. But then fast forwarding here recently, we've seen that basis return to more historic levels. We're still positive in that $2 to $4 range, but very much in line with what we've seen historically. Now, realizing that basis March to June is probably the most volatile that we're going to see, I'm likely expecting another run on basis here yet in May, supportive of cash prices in cattle. But you know, I think basis is very important when we're making some of those price risk management decisions.
And you might elaborate on that, the ways which producers can make their knowledge of basis work for them in their marketing.
Well, I think when we're especially looking at hedging those cattle, you know, understanding what that basis level that I'm going to use for my expected net hedge price. Now, if I overestimate that level, then what it is actually when I market those cattle, my profit is likely not going to be as high. And so I warn producers that $12 basis that we did see, that's not likely to hold as we go throughout the year. Historically, we see basis tighten later on in the year. So your best bet is likely to be a little bit conservative when you're using a basis estimate and be surprised on the upside. Looking at producers that would have hedged cattle back in October, we're not likely expecting a $12 basis, and we're surprised to the upside because basis was so strong.
And you could say the same about using basis for forward contracting opportunities out there?
Very much so. Now, when we look at when packers are offering basis forward contracts, they're going back to historical levels because that is really the best guess of what basis is going to be. And those five-year or three-year averages are pretty consistent. And so realizing what basis is now and what Packers are offering for that basis, and then what basis is historically, understanding all of those levels and trends, I think is important. Right now, we've seen fewer forward contracts being entered into, and I think the reason that is because basis levels weren't very attractive in those contracts because of what basis is right now. Understanding that even if you're not locking in a basis with a Packer, you still are able to do some of the similar price risk management strategies on the futures market, especially protecting price, maybe not basis, but at least the forward price.
So once again, being acquainted with the basis levels, how they work, and moreover, where they stand in a given period of time can be a useful indicator for you producers in as far as carrying out your marketing program. Lee, we do have to note that the big news in the past couple of weeks has been the announcement that China has once again agreed to buy U.S. beef after the long-standing abstention from buying U.S. beef since the BAC incident back in 2003. Now, to note, last year China had said it was opening up its market. Nothing has come to fruition there yet. But it seems as if maybe something will be happening in earnest now. What's your view on the lasting impact of this development on the beef cattle sector?
Well, I think it gave the market, at least this week, a bit of a shot in the arm, given, you know, any time we see potential for increased market access in the face of increasing supplies, that is very good news for the market. As you noted, you know, back in September, there was announcement of resumption of trade. Now, really, we haven't seen any of the details being worked out yet as far as timelines and really expected requirements. You know, I think one of the requirements is likely no added hormones, but any of that we haven't really understood or at least know what is being talked about.
And that's all important. The devil is very much in the details here. So that story to unfold, that's why some are looking at this with some reservation, Lee, quite frankly.
I think very much so. I mean, I think until we hear that this is actually definite, I think that's not going to be a major market mover. And also understanding that this is likely not to be a major market mover in at least the short term, because resumption of trade, we know that even once we do start to physically move product, it's going to take some time to regain some of that market share over time. And so we're not going to be looking at large shipments to China, at least in the short term.
One last item here. The USDA this coming Friday will put forth its latest and monthly cattle on feed report. Anything out of the ordinary to anticipate there, Lee? What's your thinking?
Well, I think we can really expect marketings and placements up. Given really what we've seen in the market, I think we're likely to see cattle on feed numbers slightly above year-ago levels. The one bit of caution I would really have when we're looking at these cattle on feed reports is here in Iowa, we actually have a cattle on feed report for 1,000-head capacity feedlots and under 1,000-head capacity feedlots because we have about 50% of marketings from both. And if you look at the under 1,000-head feedlots, we've seen placements down significantly, marketings down significantly, as well as cattle on feed. So maybe even if we do see larger placements, larger marketings, and especially larger cattle on feed, that could have just account for some of the decrease away from smaller feedlots. So I think we're still in a situation where we have relatively tighter seasonal supplies and especially tighter supplies than maybe we expected coming into this year. But understanding as we go throughout the year, we are going to see larger placements and larger marketings. And that is one pressure point for the market. I think the important thing is really the timing of those. So if we start to really see those placements ramp up, that means more supply is coming on the market earlier in the summer maybe than we expected.
Again, those new numbers from the USDA due out this Friday, cattle on feed report. But all in all, Lee, in closing, the cattle markets are on a pretty decent roll right now, one would have to say.
You know, I think so. And really, you know, we're sitting in a situation where the fundamentals in the market are sitting pretty well. You know, I think we are going to see some backfilling from the holiday season. I think there's indications that there was quite a bit of product moved for this holiday season, being here in Easter. You know, when we look at featurings, I think beef has become a lot more attractive from a retail featuring standpoint because we've seen lower prices and be able to move a lot more product. So the demand is there. Supplies, as I mentioned, you know, a little bit more seasonally tight than we expected. So I think we can hold these prices in the market, at least in the short term here.
All right. Always appreciate your comments and your perspectives, Lee, and we will touch base soon once again. Thanks for your time right here.
All right, thank you.
Lee Schultz joins us routinely for input on the cattle trading trends as part of our weekly cattle market series. He is a livestock economist out of Iowa State University, and you're listening to Agriculture Today.